This is a great start for us to see what we still need to work on.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know.
Shut up. Shut up.
Well, well, well. What a sporting weekend we had last weekend. Another bumper sporting weekend across all fronts. From Serena Williams finally saying goodbye. What memories we'll cherish of seeing her in action since, I don't know, when was it the 2000s or so? Max Verstappen once again in front of his home crowd, winning yet another Grand Prix. What about the Springboks? Mampimpi. Once again, they showed their first victory down under in Australia in over, was it 9 years or so? The last time was in 2013. Well, this is another episode of Team Spirit Podcast, proudly brought to you by City Press. This is your weekly one-stop sporting analysis podcast, where everything goes without fear or favor. So I've already mentioned that we had a memorable weekend, but that's not enough as we look forward to another week. But as always, I'm not alone and with my men here, Nkhonne, Mr. Daniel Mutuahai, a.k.a. the 12th man. Trumpies, welcome, my brother.
Thank you very much. As always, Team Spirit, it's always nice to be here on your hot seat.
Well, is it 9-0? Was it 6-0? Was it 4-0? 3? I'm not even sure how many goals Brazil scored against Banyana Banyana. So since Friday at Orlando Stadium, we saw some silly mistakes from our team. On Monday, again, in Durban, another hammering. The bad thing is that we didn't even score a goal. What did you make of Banyana's outing with Brazil?
Well, in my view, I don't think we really need to be harsh on our girls. Yeah, it was a typical show that brought to the fore, the levels. Give the levels, Spirit. I mean, fresh from being crowned the African champions, I think Banyana needed a reality check. Remember, we are building up now for the World Cup. So it's good to lose by 9-0, well, on aggregate, from the way before the actual tournament than at the tournament, because I think that's some sort of reality check that we needed, and I'm glad that it came nice and early. So I think there were some good lessons to take from this Brazil game.
But what exactly do you think the Israelis got out of the two games? Yes, it was not at the World Cup. It's good. It's a good preparations, but some harsh lessons, I would think.
Yeah, well, for starters, remember Brazil is like your typical football country where it seems like everyone was born to play this game. And they've got everything for them there. Everyone is walking around with a soccer ball in their hands. They've got their academies, and remember, some of these players are playing in decent leagues across the world. Well, we've got a few of ours who are also playing abroad. So I think it's also, we need to, like I say, reality check to look even at the structures that we have. Remember, our league is not even at that level of being called a professional league. And some examples that I can make. We have our so-called experienced players signing a contract abroad over the age of 30. For instance, Nokumatlo, when she got her first break overseas, she was already way into her 30s. And then you've got those Brazil girls. I mean, yeah, they've been there. You could see that they were fluid, just rolling. And I think some of the things that we need to learn from them is that, you know, you don't just build up in a game. Of course, you need to score goals. And to do that, you really need to be consistent in your approach. And I think that's what even Banyana liked, actually, when they won the tournament. Remember, it was just only one game where they won by more than 2 goals. And then from there, we just squeezed in with narrow margins.
But mentally, psychologically, I mean, losing by such a wide margin, suppose we meet Brazil again at the World Cup, because we still don't have the draw, won't this depress them, or to say this time we know what to expect, we are ready for them?
Naturally, you know, an undisputed champion, the moment they get knocked out, you know, like you took something out of them. You obviously it will have some bearing in their confidence, but it will only get to see how much this has affected them psychologically when they go to their next game. But remember, like with the national team, there's always this long gap before they play their next game. But yeah, naturally, this would have done something to their heads, especially if you look at the goalkeeper last night, Kaylin Swart. She was equally culpable, you know, for some of the goals, because those errors, I mean, at that level, she should have known better. She's an experienced keeper for that matter.
Well, let's hope it's a lesson learned. The less said about the goalkeeper, the better. Let's hope they will bounce back. I mean, you concede a goal in the opening 5 minutes, you know, that's disastrous. Anyway, back to domestic football. What's happening at Marumo Gallants? Do they still have a coach?
Yeah, no, it's only at Marumo Gallants where, like, in your next match, you'll see a head coach being listed as the assistant coach. And that's where I sense the trouble there. Well, initially, I thought maybe it was a typo error, but, you know, that typo became a reality when we saw the actual bench that, in fact, the coach was not there. So, Romain Folz's situation, leaving Marumo Gallants in a half, continued to show us, you know, some lack of professionalism at some clubs. I mean, how do you do that? And of course, the coach highlighted, raised some of his concern, saying that there was meddling, some interference in technical matters. I mean, he was told to change his lineup before the game, and he honestly said, I mean, that's what not his contract says.
How often do we hear about club owners, people interfering in technical matters? You know, I think we need to applaud the coach for having said what he said, because not many coaches will come out and say this is what really happened until when they are out. I think this is the kind of coaches that we need in the country, who can stand up against their club owners or their bosses and say, you know, this is my territory, please don't interfere. Because for me, I think club bosses are not there when the team is training. It's only the technical team. But for them to come and change the lineups on the day of the match, it's uncalled for, it's unprofessional, and it's an unbecoming behavior. So the question is, how many are like this young boy? I qualify to call him young because he's still younger than me. I think I'm 10 years older than him. Anyway, that's a subject for another day. but we've heard about this thing. It's not the first time that it's happening, but people don't talk about it. But let's see, let's watch the space and see what's happening with this one, whether he'll be back as a head coach or he's been demoted. Yeah, we don't know, but I don't see him coming back. Yeah.
Absolutely, there's no coming back there. I mean, the young man put it bluntly that it was a breach of contract from the side of the club. I mean, how do they interfere on something that, according to their contract, he was supposed to be the one in charge of technical matters, not the management?
Okay, you know, there are two things that I thought we'll touch on relating to Kaizer Chiefs. One is pertaining to the DC case. I saw your story that you wrote last week that they've been called to appear before the PSL DC to answer a charge of supporters' misbehavior when they invaded the pitch. Last week we touched a bit on the Danny Craven Stadium, where after the final whistle, even before, you know, I did say in my column that it was a disaster waiting to happen. Are you surprised that the away team have been called to answer for their supporters' misbehavior?
Yeah, no, of course, it's puzzling why Chiefs, for starters, as the team that was not actually the home team, is the first to be charged on something that happened far away from their home, yet Stellenbosch have not been charged with anything. So, but I guess, you know, it's just a guesswork from the league, if I may put it that way, seeing that maybe it's because of the Chiefs supporters dominated and people were wearing yellow colors, and all of a sudden is blamed on Chiefs. That pitch invasion is blamed on Chiefs. So I think the league had actually not started well in investigating this matter by summoning Chiefs first before the DC.
So what should happen next if Chiefs is playing away in Polokwane? They should be, make sure that the security is tight. Is that what the league is saying?
Well, remember that game being a cup game, it was the PSL's responsibility to make sure that safety and security measures were in place in that game, and it is not necessarily the duty of the home team, like I say, because it was the PSL was the event organizer in this case. So the PSL is equally to blame, because they must also come out to say where did it all go wrong, other than, you know, just hiring and call just one party before its disciplinary committee.
I think we'll watch this one closely. But finally, still on Chiefs, Ntjabulo Blom, there's an issue of a contract. He brought back the issues of Bruce Vuma, the contract issue. That what should happen when a development player signs a professional contract? Because the issue of the monetary compensation once again came to the fore.
Yeah, no, I agree. It looks like Chiefs didn't learn from their previous season, from the previous lessons. Because remember, even at the time when it came out that Bruce Vuma, I mean, meaning the goals for such a big club, was still earning something like $5,000. Remember, he was called the 5K man. I think it's also upon the clubs themselves to make sure that they do the right things. Remember, like, You move from a junior contract, and I guess the minute you step into the elite league as a, you know, first team player, you need there should be some improvement on the contract. I mean, we've seen that happening in Europe, and here we are talking about Chiefs, the teams that should be setting a good example, considering, you know, their long history of being those clubs that are regarded as, you know, the more professional side in our league. So they can do better on that aspect.
Yet we blame the likes of Sundowns when they give players more money. Maybe it's a way that's how it should go, because to avoid situations like this, it will be a shame for Chiefs to lose a player like Blom, whom they developed from scratch up until now. But if they don't do the right things, players are still going to leave.
Sure, I agree 100%. And remember, Chiefs have that long history of losing their own development players. We've seen how most of them, you know, they go via loans, and then all of a sudden they just disappear. And instead of coming back home at Chiefs, and then they get snapped by other teams elsewhere, and in some instances they are forced to buy the very same players that they developed. So I think with the Blom issue, they sort of put themselves under a similar risk of losing such a valuable player. Even better, for someone who they had invested so much on him over the years to get him to be the player he is today.
Well, that's another one that we'll be watching closely to see how far or how it's going to be resolved. I think that's all we have for you this morning. We'll be bringing you all the hits, the misses, and predictions from the sporting field every Tuesday. Simply visit our website, citypress.co.za, for more sporting stories, and join the conversation on our social media platforms. Re Mutwahai, ke o lebohile rra.
Go leboga nna nkgonne le nako e tlang.